I'm going to preach today from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to do 12 verses, but I'm just going to read the last four of those verses in your hearing at the beginning. As I get ready, well, let me go ahead and read it because you're standing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I don't have any idea how long I'm going to preach today, so I'm not even going to say the next few minutes. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to preach the love of the truth, the love of the truth. God bless you. You may be seated. I have endeavored to preach this passage for the past 2 or 3 weeks, and for whatever reason, I felt like God just would not allow me to do that. I kept wanting to, and I outlined a few things here and there, and was like, it's just not time. But on Wednesday of this week, as I typically do quite a bit of sermon prep on Wednesday, that's kind of, I think about it usually Sunday night, and I start thinking about the next week, and sometimes longer than that, depending on if I'm doing a series. But on Wednesday, it just kind of clicked for me, and I changed the path a little bit, but I'm preaching the same passage. And so to quote the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, if I could say it this way, I wanted to do this already, but on Wednesday it seemed good to me and the Holy Ghost that today would be the day. And so I'm going to preach this message today. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times will come. We, of course, have seen perilous times for most of human history. There have been perilous times. And every generation, no doubt, will look at their generation and say it's perilous times or it is chaotic times. But it is true of our current generation and it is true of our day. We are living in perilous times. Chaos abounds. Wars and rumors of wars, another hallmark of the end times that the Bible would point to. There are wars all across our world, and there are rumors of more wars, and every day a new attack here or a new attack there, and it seems like it is becoming more and more common that there are wars. And the Bible would even say there would be the increase of earthquakes and natural disasters. We've seen that elevation of earthquakes. It's happened for the past 100+ years. The 100 years prior to 2010 had a certain number of earthquakes of a certain magnitude that would be considered major earthquakes. And every decade since 2010, we're now in that third decade, it has had all of the earthquakes, more than all of the earthquakes for the previous 100 years of that magnitude in each of those. So people will look at that and say, we are, of course, in the end times. It is close to the end. And the Bible would speak of cosmic signs and wonders that would be in the heavens before the second coming of Jesus and before His return. And this month there has been a number of cosmic signs. And some of these were anticipated and expected, and comets out in the various parts of space, or a blood moon on September 7th in Israel. And all of that has led some, along with the political division and the political unrest, to say that Jesus is coming. He is coming, of which I will talk about. Some have even gone so far as to say that He's coming on Tuesday. I know a few of you have heard that Jesus is coming on Tuesday. I would venture to say if more people had heard that and really believed it, this house would be full today. There wouldn't be standing room only in churches all across America, but the majority of people have not heard it. The majority of people then probably that have heard it don't really believe it. And I am not here to prophesy that Jesus is coming on Tuesday. You will see why in just a few moments as I walk through the scripture. But we are seeing all of these signs and an increase of these signs that are indicative of the last days. What does it mean for us? Is this the end times? And is the rapture, of course, for some, really happening on Tuesday? Paul, in his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, the second epistle to the Thessalonians, they are in the midst of persecution. It is, of course, not just happening in Thessalonica. It's happening all across the Roman Empire as Christians are being killed and they are being persecuted for their faith. They are experiencing some of what they would look at and go, man, this is the end times. This is the day of the Lord. And we'll see that in just a moment. But in spite of the persecution and in spite of the difficulties from government and from those who are opposing Christianity that are not part of the Roman government, the Bible would tell us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that they are growing in their faith. They're continuing to make progress. They're continuing to experience maturity and they're continuing to experience growth in the midst of persecution and the midst of difficulty. And Paul would then change after giving them commendation for all of their growth and how proud he is of what they are doing to say this, that God is going to bring vengeance upon all of those who are persecuting the church. He's going to bring vengeance on those who are pushing the church aside, who are disagreeing with the church, and those, he says specifically, who do not obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, he would say this, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This judgment, he says, will happen when the day of the Lord arrives. But the Thessalonians had been misled. They had been misled about the timing of the day of the Lord. They had been told by someone and somewhere along their journey that they had been told that the day of the Lord was already here. They had, in essence, missed the rapture. And it's to this end that Paul would write the next chapter in 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to be preaching about the end times, but I'm also going to be preaching about what you see on the screen. And really, that's the main emphasis of what I'm preaching, and that is the love of the truth. That you and I must prioritize the love of the truth in our life. God thinks that truth is important. So you and I must receive a love for the truth. And I have actually misspoke. It's not just a love, but it's the love of the truth. So why should we prioritize that? The first reason you and I need to prioritize the love of the truth is because Jesus is coming. Look at your neighbor if you've got one and say, Jesus is coming. It's not a question of if he will come. It's only a matter of when he will come. And Paul would begin this chapter with this. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. He ties this together that Jesus is coming. He is also going to gather us together with him. And he says, don't be quickly shaken. Don't let your composure be disturbed by a spirit or a message or a letter as if it was from us to the effect that the day of the Lord had already come. Because somebody had been coming behind the apostles, somebody had been preaching that the day of the Lord had already come and they had missed the gathering together with him. And Paul says, don't be shaken in your faith. Don't be disturbed by that. You have not missed it. It's still coming in the future. So I would encourage, I don't think anybody's believing that here, but just in case, his coming, he has not come the second time yet. You have not missed the rapture. It's still coming, which means that you and I still have time to be ready to meet him. That we still have an opportunity to be ready when he comes. And Paul would specifically use this day of Christ. It is what the Old Testament would call over and over the day of the Lord. And understand this, the day of the Lord is not a good day. The day of the Lord is a euphemism. It's another way of saying God's judgment has come upon the world. And he would say it's not here yet. And I just thought about this morning as I was thinking through the message. And it uses the day of Christ. That's a good oneness thing. It's the day of the Lord, day of the Christ. Guess what? Everyone in the same? Somebody say yeah. But this day of the Lord that the Old Testament prophesies over and over again about his coming. And they think they've missed it. And in our day, there is a lot of false doctrine about the second coming. In fact, there's a lot of false doctrine in general about just about everything. You don't have to be on social media for more than about 15 seconds to find some false doctrine if you have any kind of religious stuff in your feed. You're going to see it. And Paul is saying the day of the Lord has not come, but it will come. And so why I'm preaching this, the reason and the rationale, why is it that we need a love or the love of the truth, is because Jesus is coming. It hasn't happened yet, but it's still coming. And if you do not have the love of the truth, then guess what? The Bible is going to tell us, and we're going to explore it in more detail later, you will not be ready to meet him when he comes. You and I must be ready to meet him. Jesus will come for us and he will pour out judgment on all of those who are left. I want to make sure I love the truth. I want to make sure I have received the love of the truth so that when he comes, I will be found faithful. I don't want to get to that day and find out that I wasn't ready to meet him. I don't want to get to that day and find out that there were problems in my life that I was unaware of or I ignored, but I want to be ready for his coming. And Paul would go on to say, and he puts a timeline on what's going to happen. Remember, he's talking about the day of the Lord, and he's talking about our gathering together to him. That gathering together to him, that's the rapture. Look at your neighbor and say, that's the rapture. But in the next verse, he gives a second reason why you and I need the love of the truth. And that is this, because there is an apostasy coming. He says, let no one in any way deceive you. For that day of the Lord and our gathering together with him will not come unless the apostasy comes first. Apostasy, it comes from the Greek word apostasia. It means a falling away. A falling away from what? A falling away how? What kind of falling away? Are we falling down off a cliff? No, they're falling away from the truth. That Paul would say, our gathering together to Jesus. And the day of his judgment will not come until there is a falling away. Jesus would say that the love of many will grow cold. That as time progresses, people that were once on fire for Jesus, people that were once all in and gung-ho for Jesus, that the love of many will grow cold. What happens when your love for Jesus grow cold? You stop talking to Jesus. You stop spending time with Jesus. You stop spending time in his word. You stop going in daily and reading his word. And when your love for Jesus grows cold, then You have other things that become priority in your life instead of Jesus. You have other things that are priority in your life instead of spending time with Him and His people. You have other things that just begin to take precedence in your life and take preeminence in your life. The Bible would say in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves instead of lovers of God. They're gonna have all kind of sin and all manner of things in their lives in the last days. It's not that it hasn't existed for all the time, but it's going to be a hallmark of the last days. You and I, we are living in the last days. Jesus is soon to come. All you have to do is look around in light of what's going on in our world, in light of just things here in the United States, where there is gender blending and gender confusion. And it's not only that there are people who do that you have to celebrate and you have to agree with them. Or you get canceled if you don't agree with them, if you don't say the right things, if you don't agree with their sin and their iniquity. And people fall away from the truth. But not only is there an apostasy coming, but the Antichrist is also coming. The coming of the Lord, as Paul would say here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, it's that the coming of the Lord and our gathering together to meet Him will follow this apostasy, and it will follow the coming of the Antichrist. Now, I realize there are those in this room that you probably don't like what I just said. But I didn't say it. Paul said it. Let no one in any way deceive you. It will not come. He's talking in verse 1 about the day of the Lord and our gathering together to meet Him. That will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. I could get into the Greek words. The word first is the Greek word proton. In every place it's used in the New Testament, it has the same meaning. This comes before that. First, this happens, then that happens. It's pretty clear grammatically. It's not always clear when we have preconceived ideas and notions and things we don't like. But you need to make sure that you have the love of the truth. Because there is an Antichrist who's coming. He is a man of sin. He is the son of perdition. Both of these words are used for him in that particular verse. And Paul would go on to say, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself to be God. The Antichrist will set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem, which means the temple has to be rebuilt. And I don't have time to go through the whole timeline and everything that's going to take place in the end time, but just understand when you see an agreement that allows the temple to be rebuilt, you can just know we're getting close. Because he can't stop the sacrifice and he can't do what Jesus would refer to as the abomination that maketh desolate. He can't do that without a temple. But if there's a temple that gets built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and the Jews start offering sacrifice, you just know that what I'm telling you is true because this is what the Word says. And he will set himself up in that temple as God. He will tell the Jews, you don't need to do any more animal sacrifice. I'm here. I'm the Messiah that you've been looking for. And even the devil knows Jesus is God because the Antichrist is going to pretend to be God. He's going to try to mimic who Jesus is and going to present himself as God there in the temple. This abomination that makes desolation. And Paul says, do you not remember I told you these things when I was with you? I already told you all of this. But now you've been moved away from that. Somebody's come along behind me and they've told you something different. And now you're confused as to what's happened. He said, the day of the Lord had come. I told you this was what was going to happen. And what I find comforting in that is this: God has made sure we can know what is coming. We don't have to go into this blind. God always looks out for His people. He doesn't tell us, there's nothing bad ever going to happen in your life. He said, in this life you will have tribulation. He lets us know it's not all going to be easy in a bed of roses. It's not all going to be downhill and smooth sailing. He tells us there's problems coming, and He lets us know. And aren't you thankful that we don't go into things blind and we're like, well, if He was with me, I wouldn't have this problem. No, He said, you're going to have problems, but He said, I'm with you anyway. I'm with you in the midst of your problem. I'm in the midst of your tribulation. I am there with you. And then Paul would say this, and you know what restrains him. He wants to be here now, but he said he's being restrained. He can't come. But in his time, he will be revealed. The devil can't come on the scene in the person of the Antichrist just yet because God does not allow it. And in verse 6, he uses a what. You know what restrains him. I would tell you that what there is the timeline of God. That God has a timeline that He's working from. God has a timeline that He's been operating from. We just aren't always privy to it. That timeline was displayed when Jesus is conceived in Nazareth and He's born in Bethlehem when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And God's time frame is when Jesus appears on the scene. It's not until God says it's time that it's going to happen. It's not until God says it's time that Jesus gets crucified. It's not until God says it's time that He comes back. It's not until God says it's time that the Antichrist can appear on the scene. The timeline of God. And in fact, I was just reading some passages, some verses in Revelation with somebody else a couple of days ago. And the martyrs, they say to God, how long are you going to wait to avenge us? And this is what God says. There's more people that need to be martyred still. And when the number gets fulfilled, then I will avenge them. There's not enough martyrs yet. I don't know all that God's thinking. His ways are higher than my ways for sure. And His thoughts that are higher than my thoughts. But I do know this, that the Bible says that He is just. And He is the justifier. And what He's saying is, I'm going to pour out this judgment on the whole world when it gets to a certain point. It is coming in the future. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and be allowed to persecute people that are following me. But when the time gets right, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take him out. The devil is being held in check. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And I don't have all these on the screen for you. You can follow along in your Bible in case you think I'm making up stuff. The mystery of lawlessness, Paul says, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work 2,000 years ago in Paul's day. And the coming of the Antichrist will follow the standing aside of the restrainer. And I don't have time to get into a whole lot of discourse on this, and I should hurry. But just so you know, one of the most popular positions on this is that the Antichrist will come when the church is raptured and taken out of the way. There's a number of problems with that. One is this: he just got done saying our gathering together with him is not happening until after this. But the other thing is this: the church is the bride. The church is not the groom. God still believes in two genders. Therefore, the he is not the bride. The church is never a he. The church is always a she. The church is always the bride. So it can't be. And if the pronouns aren't enough, once again, I go back to my first point. Paul said, our gathering together with him will not happen until after this. So who or what is the restrainer? In the last few weeks, as I've been trying to preach this message, or a message at least, this is not that message, but a message from this text, did a little more Greek study. And I could illustrate it. I'm not going to illustrate it to save time. But when it says this, the Antichrist cannot come until the restrainer, till he is taken out of the way, it doesn't mean that the restrainer is removed. What it means is the restrainer steps aside. It's not that the restrainer is no longer, it's not a spatial word. If I were to say to someone, I'm going to remove them from this room, that's a spatial word. They're no longer in this room. But if someone is standing in the doorway, they don't have to be out of the room. They're just going to step aside and let you do your thing. That the restrainer is going to step aside and let the Antichrist be revealed, that Satan has already been planning for and God has already prophesied over and over and over. And when he comes, this lawless one is according to the working of Satan. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That the Antichrist is going to do false signs and wonders. He's going to do miracles that are going to try to convince people that he's really the Christ. He's going to do miracles to try to convince people that he is really the prophesied Messiah of the Jews and he's really the prophesied Messiah of the Christians. But his power and signs and lying wonders with the intention of deceiving those who do not have the love of the truth. Why does he need to do this if everybody who's left already has abandoned truth and everybody who's there already missed the rapture, but he will come with deception? The Bible says the Antichrist will be of Satan. He will be demon-possessed by Satan himself. And he will deceive those who did not receive the love of the truth. Receiving the love of the truth is important. It means to take to oneself what is presented or brought by another. Receiving the love of the truth doesn't mean you just hear about the truth. It doesn't mean you just know what the truth is. It means you take that truth and you say, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to hold it dear. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to build my life around it. I'm going to do everything I can to keep this truth. I love the truth. The truth that we find in His Word. And He doesn't say a love. It's the love. God always means something by the words that He uses. It's not, I love pizza and I love God. Something different is about the love of the truth. He doesn't even say they receive not the love of a truth. It's the love of the truth. It's not just, boy, I like this one. I like, oh, this is a great truth. I like this one. I love this one. I don't know about this one. I don't know, when Jesus says that, I don't know. When the Bible uses the truth or the faith or the doctrine, it's talking about the whole body of truth and beliefs that God has presented to us in His Word. It's about loving everything, whether I understand it or not, whether I even like it sometimes or not, whether I want to hear it or not. I love it because His Word is truth. I love it because I've got to follow it if I'm going to make it to heaven. I love it because if I don't do that, I'm going to be deceived in the last days. The word love there, it's the Greek word agape. It's an unconditional love. when I agree and when I don't. When it's hard or when it's easy. When I'm disappointed or when I'm happy. When things are going well or they're going bad, I still got to love the truth. I still love the truth. When people criticize the truth, I'm not going to walk away from truth so I can fit in with those around me. But I'm going to hold on to the truth. Why? Because I love the truth. I know what I know, and I believe what I believe, and His Word is true, and I'm not going to let anybody take it away from me. No deception, no lying wonders, no false prophets, no other teachers, not crowds. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God, which I find in His Word. I'm going to hold on to it, a love for the truth. And then we need the love of the truth. It's the last one and most scary. Because strong delusion is coming. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When God sends strong delusion, you're in trouble. If God is going to cause you to be deceived, you pretty much have no hope. But here's what he says. He sends it on those that did not believe the truth. Truth is imperative. Truth is essential. There are a number of truths that I could point to today. A number of truths that are super important. The truth that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, you got to believe that. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good teacher. He is God revealed in human form. He is God come down to earth. So He could live a perfect sinless life and He could die in your place and mine as our substitutionary atonement. And He could be raised on the third day so that you and I could have eternal life. The truth that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I can't get there any other way but through Jesus Christ. I can't ever be good enough. I can't pay enough money. There's nothing I can do to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the only way. The truth that I must be born of water and spirit, or I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I didn't make that up. Jesus said, unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. You got to believe that. And it's not just believe it. You got to obey it and you got to do it. The truth is that we must live for Him daily. I've got to follow Him. It's not enough for me just to say, I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I can't just say, Jesus, I want to live with You forever, but not now. You have to follow Him daily right here, right now, because Jesus is coming and there is apostasy coming and the Antichrist is coming and strong delusion is coming on those who do not believe the truth. The truth is, we must be looking for Him. For Paul would write, to those who look for Him, does He appear the second time? If you're not looking for Him and you're not ready for Him and you don't want Him to come because you've got other things more important to do, you will not be ready when He comes. There are many lies that we could believe. The Bible says that God is going to send a strong delusion that we would believe the lie. Once again, definite articles are important. It's not just any lie. It's the lie. And I thought about that. I've heard people speculate on what is the lie. Many will just say, well, we don't know. But there's one, well, there's two. There's two lies in this text. They're truth, but two lies that are spoken of in this text. Let me rephrase that. The Bible does not lie. One lie is this. It's that the day of the Lord has already come and you missed it. That's the whole purpose of the passage. That's why he's telling them all of this. He said, I told you already when I was there, I got to write it to you so you don't forget it. Now, you didn't write it down. You didn't take good notes. So I got to write it for you. The second lie that you find in this passage is that the Antichrist is really the Christ. And what I am convinced of is this, that God will send people a strong delusion that they will believe that the Antichrist is really the Christ because they did not believe the truth. They didn't receive the love of the truth, and they didn't believe the truth, and they didn't hold it dear. And God will send them a delusion that they're going to believe this false Messiah is really the Messiah. And here's what the Bible is clear on as well. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast, and that beast is the Antichrist, and I don't have time to go through all of that, but anyone who takes the mark of the beast will be damned. There is no coming back from that. There is no, I changed my mind from that. It is a biblical guarantee that if you take the mark of the beast, you will not make it to heaven. So here's what God says for those people that didn't receive the love of the truth. They weren't believing it. They weren't holding on to it. I'm going to send them strong delusion that they'll believe that the Antichrist is the Christ, and they're going to take the mark, and they will be condemned. It's what he says. He doesn't mention the mark, but he says, I'm going to do it so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. I realize this is a heavier message than I would want to preach. But do understand that Jesus is coming. And Anna is coming to the piano. Jesus is coming. You and I must be ready to meet Him. And we will not be ready to meet Him unless we believe and receive the love of the truth. A truth that cannot be shaken by politics. A truth that cannot be shaken by divisiveness. A truth that cannot be shaken by culture. A truth that cannot be shaken, and a love for truth that cannot be shaken by situations and circumstances. A truth and a love for the truth that can't be shaken when we're in the wilderness like I preached about previously. We got to buy the truth, as Proverbs would say, buy the truth and sell it not. It's not for sale. I'm not giving it up. No matter what you give me, I'm not giving it up. No matter what you try to take from me, I'm not giving it up. I get texts and phone calls and emails all the time. People wanting to buy my house. I'm sure you do too if you own a house. It's not because all the world really wants my house. They're looking to, they're just hoping I'm in a bad situation, so I'll take low dollars and they'll just give me some cash and I'll walk away. It's more valuable than any house. Buy the truth and sell it not. It's not enough. I believe the truth for 3 months or 6 months or 2 years. Or I got to buy it and sell it not. I can't ever walk away from the truth. I got to live for Jesus daily. Because I don't know. He may not come back tomorrow, but I could die tomorrow. He's probably not coming on Tuesday. But I could die on Tuesday. And then I don't need him to come back. I'm going to meet him unless I'm not ready. So I got to live every day as though I'm going to meet him today. That I'm going to meet him face to face today, because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't even know what today holds. We've got to understand the time we are in. It is a time of great deception already. AI Jesus. I hear stories of people, and it's unfathomable to me how they could fall for this AI Jesus. They know about AI. It's not like they haven't ever heard this. Jesus is not talking to you personally on social media. People fall for that. I'm the Jesus you've been looking for. He's not coming in AI form. And I don't know where people are that they could fall for that kind of thing. I have no idea. And while you and I could look at that and go, man, I would never fall for that, there is a great falling away coming, so there's a whole lot of people going to fall for something. There's a whole lot of people going to fall away. And maybe it's when the Antichrist gets on the scene that they start falling away, because they start believing the lie that he is the Messiah. But you got to have a love for the truth. Understand the time we're living in. Understand he is soon to come. And the reason that there are those out there that are saying Jesus is coming on Tuesday is because the United Nations is supposed to have a vote on Tuesday about a two-state solution with Israel and Palestine. We'll know pretty quick if this is the one the Bible talks about. But the world is, in certain segments of Christianity, they're looking at this, and those who say Jesus is coming Tuesday because of this agreement that they're going to vote on this, and because Daniel would write that the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many for 7 years, and it is universally understood that the signing of a covenant that allows the Jews to rebuild the temple will start the beginning of the final 7 years. I don't know what's going to happen Tuesday. It might be the covenant. It could be a precursor. It could be nothing. I don't really know. All I know is that I'm going to be ready to meet Jesus when he comes. All I know is I'm going to live like he's coming at any moment, or at any moment I'm going out to meet him. We cannot afford to be cold, and we can't afford to be lukewarm. Jesus would say to John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, when he would pen letters to 7 churches of Asia Minor, that John would record this in Revelation 3, 14 through 16. To the angel or the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that they are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's not a time to dabble. It's not a time to play. It's a time to get all in and be all on fire for Jesus Christ. It's not a time to be a little in the church and a little in the world. It's a time to be all the way in. It's time to ramp up your commitment. It's time to go all in for Jesus. Would you stand together with me? If your desire is to be all in for Jesus, if your desire is to receive the love of the truth, if your desire is to be ready to meet Him, I'm going to invite you to come around this front. You can kneel, you can stand, you can do whatever you want, but I'm just going to call you to step out, and I'm going to call you to recommit yourself to Jesus. God, I want to be all in for you. God, I want to be committed to you fully. I don't want to be lukewarm, God. I want to be wholeheartedly on fire for you.